A four-part series today. We talked about this subject last year, and we're going to talk about it this year, and I'm hoping this subject becomes part of Living Hope Assembly of God's framework, its life. We've been praying about this on Wednesday night for the past 6 months or so, how we can reach out to the hurting, to the lost, to the interested, and to the strangers. I talked with our deacons about how we can make these four things a part of the life of Living Hope Assembly of God, that we want to reach out when we see the hurting, the lost, the interested, and the strangers. We want to reach out with good news. Now we're going to start today by letting the lost trigger good news in our lives. So the specific title of the sermon is Lost Then Found, Psalms 107. I'm going to read verses 1 through 30, but I will divide them into different parts, so keep that in mind. The different parts begin with the word some. So when you hear that word, that is a different part. Verses 1 through 3, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands from east and west, from north and south. Verse 4, some wandered in desert wastelands. One translation says, some wandered lost and homeless, lost and homeless, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Verse 10, some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Verse 17, some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thanks offerings and tell of his works and songs of joy. Verse 23. Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper, the waves to the sea were hushed. Then they were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to the desired haven. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would guide us to our desired haven. We ask that you would break the iron bars today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Each section Each section of this psalm is structured the same way. Verses 4 through 9, 10 through 16, 17 through 22, 23 through 30. It describes the lostness of the people. It describes their trouble. Then the psalm walks the congregation who would be hearing the psalm read in their synagogue, gives them samples of the bad experiences that they probably had had in the past, and the people would be nodding along, yeah, we've been through things like that. And then the people cried for help, and then the help was brought forth and deliverance was provided. Then they were encouraged to give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love, for His steadfast love, and His mighty works. They were lost. This psalm gives four examples of people who were completely lost. But it also shows us there is none so lost that they can't be found. There is none so lost that they can't be found. Well, why is there none so lost that they can't be found? Because I was lost. I don't know about you, but I was lost. But I was not so lost that I could not be found. You were lost. But you were not so lost that you could not be found. You have people in your life who are lost, who are completely lost, and say, I don't know if there's any hope for them. But they are not so lost that they cannot be found. Well, how will they be found? Well, number one, there's an outline in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. Number one, the lost are found because of God's character as a redeemer. The lost are found because of God's character as a redeemer, someone who goes and pays the price and buys back the people who are lost. Verses 1 through 3 begins with a call to praise, an encouragement to those who have been redeemed by God to confess that God came and found us when we were lost, and He paid the price and brought us back. In verse 1, in verse 8, in verse 15, in verse 21, in verse 31, why did He redeem us? Because of His unfailing love, His steadfast love. It's the Greek word. And I give you the Greek words because I know you love the Greek words. The Hebrew words, I'm sorry. It's the Hebrew word. There's never a week it goes by. It says, Pastor, I wish you'd give us more Hebrew words. So I'm going to do that. It's the Hebrew word Hesed. Hesed. It actually begins with a K, but I believe the K is silent. Hesed. This is the word the psalmist used to express God's unfailing love. It's a covenant relationship He had between Himself and Israel. I guess the best way I could explain the Hebrew word Hesed to us, it's like the relationship that a man and a woman have when they say, I do. I have this unfailing love for you. I forsake all others. I love you alone. To love, honor, cherish, obey until death do us part, as long as we both shall live. Hesed, its meaning is difficult to grasp in English because it's such a deep word. In fact, English Bibles, different English translations will use different words depending on the context to describe what Hesed means. When they see that word Hesed in English, sometimes they use unfailing love. When they see Hesed, they sometimes use steadfast love. Sometimes they use loving kindness. Sometimes just love itself. Sometimes just kindness itself. Sometimes, depending on the circumstance, they use the word, when they see Hesed, they will put the word mercy. They will put the word loyalty, they will put the word favor, they will put the word devotion, they will put the word goodness and other words as well. Because God's hesed for us, God's love for us is deep and cannot be contained with just one English word. His love for you is very deep, is very powerful. So the assurance of his character as a God who loves, as a God who is the Redeemer, as a God who chesed, as has unfailing love, steadfast love, is how we know we can never be so lost that we can't be found. God will never abandon those who have said, I do, to a relationship with him, to a covenant with him. God is inviting whosoever will to say, I do. When trouble swamps us, God stands ready to deliver those who cry out, I do. And because of this, there is none so lost that they can't be found. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord who were so lost, but God found them, give their testimony of how lost they were, but how loved they were by God, his unfailing love, how he found them. Being redeemed by God is at the core of the identity of God's people. If you are a person of God, that means you were lost in slavery. You were lost in exile, and he paid the price because of his chesed, his unfailing love, to find you. The lostness and being found mark the reasons for the people of God to give thanks, to praise God. It fuels the passion of God's people. We were so lost. But he came and found us. And without the stories of lostness then found, then the reason for thanksgiving, they can seem to dwindle. But the joy of the thanks, it surpasses the horrors we felt during our lostness. There is none so lost that they can't be found. Number two. Being lost in the desert, but still found. Being lost in the desert, but still found. I can't even imagine in the middle of a desert, in the middle of a wilderness, lost. The experience of hunger, the experience of thirst in the desert. You say, well, we can't relate to that. Well, ancient Israel, whom originally the Psalms 107 was written to, everyone could relate to the possibilities of starvation, of thirsting to death. They didn't turn on the faucet and pure water came out, you know. They didn't go to Aldi's or Meijer's and the bread store and pick up a loaf of bread. The lostness of this situation looks back on a people shaking their fist at God, shaking their fist at the good and faithful God, because they made choices before they entered the promised land, saying, we want to do things our way. And because of that, they were lost in the desert, ancient Israel was, for 40 years. The psalmist is reminding the people of God, the people of Israel, that there was a time of wandering, of lostness in their history. This time of wandering in the wilderness defined them in a way. And it defines us in a way. There is a time of wandering in your story. There was a time of wandering in your story, or maybe there will be a time of wandering in your story. There are people in your life today, they are lost. Wandering is a part of their story. Or they were lost. Your family, your friends, they were lost, but God saved them. Or maybe in the future they will be lost. But just know this, no matter what their situation is, no matter what your situation is, God delivered Israel into the promised land. He desires to deliver us in our wandering, in our lostness. And there is none so lost that they can't be found. Number three, being lost as a prisoner, but still found. Being lost as a prisoner, but still found. Verses 10 through 16. The experience of captivity. of forced labor, of being trapped in lostness. Johnny and June were on the radio this morning. Cash, that is. He would go into the jail cells, Folsom Prison, and sing to the prisoners because they were trapped, they were lost. Ancient Israel, just about everyone could relate to the possibilities of capture or exile, because Israel's story is one that involves slavery to Egypt for hundreds of years. It involves exile in a foreign land in Babylon for generations. But their cries were heard by God, who delivered them while they were being mistreated and enslaved by Pharaoh. Their cries were heard while they were sitting by the river Euphrates in a foreign land far from home, and God found them, and God did bring them out of being prisoners, out of being trapped, and brought them back home. We may be imprisoned figuratively, or we may know some who are literally imprisoned. Or one day we may be imprisoned figuratively, and I hope not, but you never know, literally. But our cry goes out, and we know God hears us, and we know there is none so lost that they can't be found. Number four, being lost in sin, sickness, but still found. Being lost in sin, sickness, but still found, verses 17 through 22. The experience of deathly illness. Ancient Israel, just about everyone could relate to the possibilities of this sickness, of this illness. There, no health care, no hospitals, you know, no emergency rooms, no pharmacies. Sickness, death because of illness was a very real thing. The context of verses 17 through 22 suggests that they were becoming ill because of their sin, because of their rebellion, because of their wrongdoing. So their lostness was playing out because of the results of the sin and the rebellion that was going on in their life. It made them sick. Have you ever sinned so much it made you sick? Literally sick? Just me? Okay. All right. Called them fools. Scripture did. Sin and rebellion will birth fools. You ever felt foolish because of a sin? All right, you're with me now. So this lostness describes people blind and deaf to their own clueless behavior. I've been there. You've been there. We proudly think of ourselves as being with it. Wise, sane, progressive, winners, sophisticated. But the psalmist points to us as being miserable and afflicted, too sick to eat, nearing death, our very life at stake. We can even become pious fools, regular cruising on the spiritual Titanic because of the sins that we choose. But all is not lost. As lost as I was, or as lost as we can be, or as lost as those people that we know are, we are never too far gone to make a smart move to cry out to God for rescue. Even fools know enough when they're in trouble to dial 911. And we pray that those spiritual fools, and many times as us, have enough sense to make a divine 911 phone call, make a cry for help. it's the smartest move we can make. And that distress cry to God, even by those people lost in sin sickness, yielded a rescue from the self-induced trouble. I hear Christians sometimes say, well, that person just brought it on themselves. Yeah, okay, they did. And I can point back to some things I did and you did. You brought it on yourself. So, they did, that's true. But they still are not so lost that they cannot be found. And our job is to encourage them to call 911. To make that divine 911 phone call. And number five, being lost in a storm at sea, but still found. Being lost in a storm at sea, but still found. Delivered from the storm, from the winds and the waves. Verses 23 through 30, you have a group of merchants. Maybe they were, could have been fishermen. They were on a business trip and they get caught in a storm. They get caught in the sea. If you'll notice, unlike the other groups that we talked about, no fault is attributed to this group. They didn't do anything. They were just going about life. They were going about minding their own business. And all of a sudden, there's a storm. And it can happen that way with all of us. Everyone here, you're going along, things are fine, and all of a sudden, you're in the middle of a storm. Life can get us lost just by the very nature of life. Their lostness is said to be not the result of any sin or any rebellion or any decision that they made. The surprising thing is the trouble is specifically said to be brought about by God. If you read it again, look at it closely. The storm they were going through is attributed to God. It sounds as if the travelers are privileged to see the mighty works of God while on their voyage, and the storm comes up. Now let's see what God can do even during the storm. Their trouble seems mainly a matter of their own fear of the storm, of the winds, of the waves. It says their courage melted away in their peril. Their courage melted away in their calamity. They got afraid because of their trouble. They lacked faith because of the storm. Nevertheless, this group cries out to God, and God delivers them. And He makes the storm be still. He makes the waves hush. And those people are encouraged to thank God for His steadfast love, for His unfailing love, to thank Him for something that He seemed to put them right in the middle of. Think about that one for a second. I'm supposed to praise God. He could have kept me from this storm. He could have kept me out of this storm. And now I'm supposed to praise God for something it seems like He put me right in the middle of. This group's experience is not to be regretted. And many times we regret the storms of life. Rather, even their experience of danger, of trouble, is to be taken as an encounter with the mighty, wonder-working God. See, I don't know about all of that. There was a story in Mark chapter 4. Jesus had been preaching and teaching a long time, and He was tired, and He told His disciples, let's get in this boat. They were fishermen, you know, merchants that worked on the water. And they got in the boat, and Jesus was tired, so He went downstairs in the bottom of the boat, and He got His pillow. And he took a nap. He went sound asleep. Well, in the middle of going across the Sea of Galilee, a storm comes up. One translation says a squall. A squall comes up. The winds and the waves are crashing, and these professional fishermen, the ones who would make it on the History Channel on these fishing shows, you know, they were scared to death. We are about to die in the middle of this storm. And one of them goes downstairs. We've got to wake up Jesus. He's the miracle worker. He's the Son of God. Let's wake him up. And he's sound asleep. And they wake him up and said, "Don't you care that we're about to die?" So Jesus gets the sleep out of his eyes and goes upstairs. "Peace, be still." The wind stops. The waves stop. And he looks at the disciples and he said, "Why were you afraid? Oh, ye of little faith." And now they really are afraid. But not of the wind and the waves and the trouble anymore. They're afraid of him. What kind of man is this that controls the wind and the waves? I believe Jesus was playing out Psalms 107. I believe he was reenacting that part of the psalm. Jesus is the embodiment and the completion of the scriptures. He is the Word made flesh. So Jesus' power is the power of God. The role played by God in Psalms 107 is played by Jesus in Mark chapter 4. You see, Jesus' saving activity is an expression of the chesed of God, of the unfailing love of God, of the steadfast love of God, of the mercy of God, of the kindness of God. He is always with us, just as he was in the Old Testament in Psalms 107, just as he was with those disciples on that boat in Mark chapter 4. We can experience God's steadfast, unfailing love today. Whether we're lost in the desert, whether we're a prisoner and we're trapped, whether we're wrapped up in sin sickness, or whether we're just being tossed by life on the seas of trouble up and down, God can deliver us. We can call on God. We can say, "I do," and he will find us and he will redeem us, because there is none so lost that they can't be found. And when he finds us, we're encouraged to just thank him for his unfailing love, to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I would like for Living Hope Assembly of God to be involved in hearing the cries of the lost. Maybe you had a baby monitor, or your children had a baby monitor for your grandchild, and you're in the other part of the house, another room, but you had that monitor on, and you know the little cry. You're always attentive. You could be washing dishes, cleaning the house, watching television, whatever you're doing, but that cry would come through the monitor. You're always listening for the cry. Well, see, God is always listening for the cry. You think he's not near, but he's always listening for the cry. They cried out to him. He's always listening for the cry of the lost, no matter how lost they are. He's always listening for that cry. And we are to be attuned to the lost as well, to the cries of the lost as well, because we're part of his plan of saving this world, our family, our friends, our neighbors. So we're listening for the cry in the desert. Those who are shaking their fist at God, making their own decisions. We're listening for the cry in the prison of those who are trapped, enslaved to habits, enslaved to things that are controlling them. We're listening for the cry of the sin-sick people, that life has just been crushed by sin. We're listening to the cry of those who seem to just be lost at sea. Nothing of their own, they're just lost. And we go, and we reveal the unfailing, steadfast, chesed love of God, so that they too will one day be found and give thanks to God. Because there is none so lost that they can't be found. I encourage you to live for Jesus this week. You have a Living for Jesus form in your bulletin there. Do you believe God's unfailing love endures forever? Sit with Jesus and answer that question this week. If you've said I do to him, do you believe his unfailing, steadfast love endures forever? Number two, cry out to God in an area of your life where you are lost. Your marriage, your finances, your health, your emotions, spiritual life, your faith, wherever it is, cry out. He's attuned. He's attuned. He's listening like that baby monitor. He's listening. And number three, who have you heard crying lately in their lostness, in the prison, lost at sea? Who have you heard? In what ways can you, and when at you I mean plural, you singular and you plural, how can you reach out to them personally? How can we as the church reach out to them? May the good news be triggered by the lost, because there is none so lost that can't be found. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you're here, nobody looking around, everybody praying. Maybe you're here and you're lost. You say, I don't know this God. I don't know this Jesus. I went to church years ago, or I've been here off and on. But I still feel lost. I still know I'm trapped in a prison. I'm trapped in the desert. I'm just lost at sea. I just feel lost. There is none so lost that can't be found. What God is waiting for you to do is cry out and just say, Jesus, would you save me? Jesus, would you help me? Jesus, would you redeem me? So if you're lost today and you want to be found, what you're going to do is cry out. You're just going to raise your hand and say, Jesus, I'm lost. Save me. Redeem me. So if that's you, if you're lost and you'd like to be found, you can be found right now, right here at Living Hope Assembly of God this morning. Can I just see your hand? I'm not going to call you forward. I want to see your hand so I can pray for you right now and pray for you this week. If you're lost and you'd like to be found, can I just see your hand? Would you put it up? Put it right back down. Put it up. Put it right back down. Not trying to embarrass anybody. Thank you. Not trying to embarrass anybody. I just don't want anybody to walk away lost and hopeless and trapped, lost at sea, lost in the desert. I want you to be found today. Is that you? Is that you? Thank you, Lord. Lord, for those who raised their hand today, would you just begin to cry out, say, God, save me. God, save me. I feel lost. In parts of my life, I feel lost. I feel trapped. I feel this sin sickness. I feel hungry and thirsty because I'm just lost in this wilderness. Forgive me. Save me. I believe that I'm not so lost that I can't be found. And I believe right now in Jesus' name, not because of my good works, but because of who you are, I am found because of your unfailing love. I am found. So right now in Jesus' name, I say I do. And I believe I am a Christ follower. And yet your love will never fail. If you confess Jesus with your mouth and believed it in your heart today through that prayer, if you said I do to God today, we believe you are a Christ follower. You won't be perfect, none of us are, but his unfailing love will never let you down. He'll keep you, and he desires to walk with you. He desires to know you. And we just thank you. We honor your decision today. We celebrate your decision today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're able, would you stand with us today? Let's just end today by thanking God in prayer. Lord, we just thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your unfailing love. Would you just thank him for his unfailing love today? Lord, we thank you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Lord, we just thank you, O God, that you've redeemed us. We thank you that you paid the price. We thank you that you came and found us in our lostness, O God. We thank you. May you use us powerfully to go out and hear the cry of the lost and tell them of your unfailing love. We thank you, O God. We honor you. And now, Lord, I ask that you would just bless your people. That you would just make your face shine upon every person here. You would be gracious to every person here. And that you would give every person here peace. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.